Have a seat, please. And if you have your Bibles, that was just Luke 18 is what we were reading in. If not, pop your phones open to them. Luke 18, starting in verse 10. And we're going to spend the next 2 weeks on this verse, but it starts off and it says this. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. When I learned that story as a kid, it was a Republican and a tax collector. Because I didn't know what a publican was, so I just added the re. Some of you like King James, so you got the joke. How come that part never gets preached on? Two men went up to the temple to pray. Jesus never stops and he never unpacks that. Everybody just got it. It was part of their culture. It was part of their DNA that there was a time and a place carved out for prayer. There was a time and a place where people could go to the temple and pray. That's what it was there for. Our language has changed. When we listen to our language today, if you pay really close attention to what people say in language, it tells you a lot about a culture. We even ask the question this way: do you spend time in prayer? We don't have places and times carved out to pray anymore as a people group, and that's got its strengths and its weaknesses, but I want to flip it. When we ask the question, do you spend time in prayer, we're asking the wrong question. If I spend my money, I don't expect to have anything left at the end. If I spend my money on a movie, I watch the movie, I consume the movie, but the end of 2 hours, my money's spent. Right? It's the same way with groceries. Sometimes it's necessary to spend money. I spend my money on groceries and I eat them and I digest them, and at the end, there's nothing left. I think one of our problems is when we talk about prayer, the P-R-E-Y of time, that we believe that God's praying on our time, that God wants us to spend our time doing this thing. I would actually switch it. I would say, are you investing time in prayer? Are you investing? See, when I invest in something, it's different, isn't it? If I take my money and I put it into an investment and I go back to my accountant and they say, sorry, your money's gone. I had it for 2 hours and it was a great experience, but your money's gone, I'd be livid. No, when I have my IRA, I expect that I put money into that and that money grows and produces fruit. What if we actually viewed prayer that way? Are you carving out time to invest in prayer? Do we really believe that prayer produces fruit, that prayer grows and multiplies? I want to flip it before we just push into one more thing you got to do because you're a Christian. Bill Hybels, he's the pastor at Willow Creek up in Chicago. He has this great sermon. You can Google it and watch it, so I'm not going to try to retell it or to paraphrase it. But he had a young man come into his office who was raising in the ranks at his business. And he had these struggles, and as they talked about prayer. And Bill encouraged him to carve out the time and the place to pray. He encouraged the man. He said, where's your chair? Where's that time where you go, when I'm here, this is the time dedicated, invested to talk to God? Which, by the way, is probably the wrong way to say it, too. When we say prayer is talking to God, we're probably right, and that's probably what most of us do. But like with your spouse or your kids, it is super, super unhealthy to talk to them. It's much better to talk with them. See, when I talk to them, and thank you for pointing that out last week, it was like so good, right? When we pray, how many of us were talking to God? We give God our to-do list. We give God our request list. Maybe this is echoed in our personal relationships. Try it. Just go home and tell your spouse your request list and the to-do list. And do that for a couple weeks and see how the relationship is. It won't be very good. I guarantee. No, where's your chair? That place where you can come and you can sit and you can talk and you can listen. Man, it's tough to listen to God, isn't it? I mean, not just the reality that one of my atheist friends, he said, so you're talking to an invisible friend who talks back. And I said, yeah, try it. Because I think we all do it. I think we got to realize that we are talking to our invisible friend who talks back, but we also have an invisible enemy talking back. By the way, there's only two things that when you're actually in a conversation with God, God will ever tell you. Number one is who you are. If when you're sitting there talking to God, you're hearing who you are, and it's anything but you are my beloved child, I knit you together in your mother's womb, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. See, that's what Scripture tells us. And God isn't a God who says, I'm going to tell you this thing one way, and then I'm going to tell you something else. When you're sitting there in the silence of your prayer and you hear the voices, you are scum, you are a loser, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough. If you only lose that 5 pounds, then I can use you. If you only learn that thing, then I can use you. That is not the word of God. That is the word spawned from the depths of hell. I used to like when I taught junior high, because that was the one time I could tell, they'd pay really close attention, because I'd say, this is the time when you can say, go to hell. And junior high boys love that. You're only allowed to say that to Satan, because that's where he belongs, and that's where those words are. See, in your baptism, God claimed you as his own. And when we encourage people to carve out time for prayer, I'm amazed how much shame and guilt creeps in. It was super, super fun. A mom posted a video of her son walking. Well, the mom kind of lied, because the kid wasn't walking. It was his first steps. People are so proud about their kids' first steps. They videotape them. But can I just be honest for a second? I'm not that impressed. I mean, the kid doesn't even, they take three and then they fall down. Like, if I did that, none of you would clap. You'd be like, man, he had too much communion wine. Right? But when it's your kid, they're taking these goofy steps, but they took three and you are ecstatic because it's your kid. That's why we call God Father. Because that's how your Father looks at you. When you sit here and you listen to him for the first time in a long time, he doesn't go, oh, you gave me 5 minutes? Really? Sandra's been giving me 22 minutes every morning. She even gets up early. By the way, that's one of the ways we shame ourselves, is we try to say, my prayer life should look like yours. See, two men went up to the temple to pray. Where's your chair? Does your chair look like mine? Probably doesn't. When we talked through this, it was great. Lauren went out, and we're working on stage decor, and we're working on this, and she brings me these two chairs, and she sits them in the hallway, and she goes, okay, which one looks right? And can I be honest with you? These are great props, but they ain't my chair. See, this one, I thought it looked great, and I even went down a route of, oh, I could talk about a director's chair and how God directs us in life, and this kind of looks, and it's leather, and God's there and tough, and then I went to sit down in it. Fat guy in a little coat. That's all I could think about. Like, I wondered if I stood up too quick, would I walk around like this? because this is not my chair. It's not what works for me. I felt so much shame for so long because I read in Scripture and I want to be like Jesus. I want to imitate Jesus' life. But these Bible verses say this thing. It says, and while it was still dark in the morning, Jesus got up to pray. And I can't do that. I don't do early in the morning to pray. Like, if I did, I'd pour two cups of coffee. One would be for me and one would be for God. Because I don't believe he's awake at that time either. And God is so kind and loving, he would let me drink his coffee. And then after that, I might be able to talk to him. And please don't send me hate mails on that. No, some of us were wired in there. Who's a morning person? I'll pray for you. No, if you're a morning person, get up in the morning and spend that time with God. Me, I'm a super morning person. I wake up at like 2 a.m. That's when I talk to God. That's when I pray. That's when I think he's awake. He just got done doing stuff somewhere. And he's like, hey, Henry, I want to talk to you. See, this chair and my prayer, they don't look quite like yours. And that's okay. See, your chair and my chair, they can look different, but what's it look like to stop and carve out that time? And although the things God tells us will be different, the first thing God always tells us is that we are his. I said there were two things God tells us. The second, they're the challenge. See, God doesn't just claim us as his own and then want us to sit there. No, because God loves us, he gives us an adventure to go on. He's calling us into these amazing, great adventures where we get to advance his kingdom. And I'm utterly convinced that we miss the plot unless we stop and pray. See, Jesus had his places. He had his chair too. He had the Garden of Gethsemane. This is, by the way, why Judas knew how to betray him. Judas knew that when Jesus had those times where he needed to talk to God, he had a physical place where he went because it worked for him. Jesus didn't go up to the temple to pray. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives in Gethsemane, and there he talked to God all night, and God told him, here's what's next. Here's what's next. And it sounded nuts. But if you look at the life of Jesus, God the Father does this to God the Son all the time. He goes, you think life is this way. You've got these people that are lining up at your door to hear, and I'm calling you go to this other place. I'm calling you to go here. See, when we stop and we sit and we pray and we take that time and invest it in prayer, God is going to put it on your heart to do crazy stuff. And I'm not talking crazy loud. I'm talking, you'll have this prompting. Man, I drive by that person every day when I go to find my parking space. I drive by all these people. When I drive by this person, man, I just get this, way down in my belly. What's it just look like to lift them up, to encourage them? What's it look like to listen with a different set of ears? See, that's what happened when Pastor Heibel shared this with this man. Years and years later, the man called him to his house, and he said, as I raised at the ranks of work, after we had that talk, it changed my life, Bill. I went out, and for me, his words, not mine, I needed to buy a chair. I needed to invest. I needed to spend money. I needed a place so that it was sacred and special for me. That was his story. And he took Heibels to that chair and he said, every morning for the last 8 years, I've sat in this chair. I've sat and I've looked out this window and I've talked to God. I've heard him remind me, hey, even though you screwed up in that way, even though you dropped that business deal, even though you said the wrong thing, you're still my kid. I still love you. And I heard God call me to new adventures and to new challenges. We had 300 people sitting in here this morning. Could you imagine what would happen to Northeast Allen County if all 300 on a regular basis just stopped and had a chair. They stopped and they listened to God calling them to whatever God is calling them to do next. Can I encourage you? Take that time this week. Be a kid. Fall on your knees and don't for one second think that God's going, oh man, you only took 3 steps. You only sat for 3 minutes. No, just try it. Try a 1 week experiment and hear what God's calling you to do, and maybe you won't hear anything. And when you don't hear anything, I want to bring you back to Scripture. I want to bring you back to this moment. There's two words, and I think they're the most important words in communion. It's for you. So you hear them when you come up and you receive Jesus' body in with and under that bread. That whoever's distributing repeats the words of Jesus and says, this is the body of Christ for you. I love you so much, I gave my own body. This is Jesus' blood shed for you because God chose you. God loves you. And what's it look like? If this is your first little baby step to this week, just take 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes and sit and bask in that. That the Father looks at you and you're beloved and you're sent out on mission.